Welcome. This is ActiveSpirituality.life. It is a weekly forecast program with astrology and a guided meditation activation to help you make the most of your week. It's run by Pamela Cuccinelle, that's me, the astrologer, and Susie Mazzoli, Master Healer. We invite you to find out more about our individual work, Susie Mazzoli, susiemazzoli-healer.com, or insightoasis.com for astrology. You can also find both of us at activespirituality.life, and we look forward to your joining us every week. Please share with your friends. Here we go.
Welcome, everybody, to activespirituality.life, and I'm sure that all of you have experienced the tremendous insight and accuracy offered to us by our dear astrologer, Pamela Cuccinelle. Thank you so much. You have given us great insight into what's happening and forecast so accurately what is happening. And here we are now, post-election in the US. We are talking about November, the 46th week of 2020, the week starting November the 9th. And Pam, what is happening?
I ask myself that every morning. What is happening? But I hope for all of you, as I do, you have rituals of rising in the morning to expect and anticipate the absolute best day you can have. And that's one thing we love to offer with our weekly forecast and then Susie's activation meditation at the end of it. So on the 9th, the moon is void of course at 6:05 a.m. And when the moon is void of course, it means that it is not going to make any more geometric aspects to another planet before it changes signs. So since the moon indicates the emotional weather, how the public and people we interface with feel and ourselves, when it's void of course, we tend to be less invested, if invested at all, in the outcome of a conversation, an action, an event. So at this point in time, moon void of course at 6:05 a.m. Eastern time, it goes into the sign of Virgo at 8:30 a.m. So it's really the perfect morning if you have the luxury of just taking time to enjoy your morning, the moment of your morning, the space of your morning, and just kind of sink into whatever is around you at that point in time, because we're not really eager or open to engaging in something new or starting a new activity. If we do, it tends to not happen or have an outcome that necessarily is one we anticipate, expect, or are hoping for. So you don't want to like have a special meeting or launch or something that's important when the moon is void of course. So this is a reflective time, a time that can be enjoyable, playful. The moon is in the sign of Leo. But once it moves into Virgo at 8:30 a.m., we're in very different energy. Virgo's an earth sign. It's what we call mutable, meaning it's adaptable. It can kind of move in ways that are quicker than other earth signs. I like to think of Virgo energy as being earth energy when you think of soil that gets tilled. So it's open to receive moisture, nutrients. It's rich. It has a nice texture to it. And it can basically be something that can receive the seed or roots of a plant or accept the footfall of a person walking on it and going in a certain direction. So there's an adaptability and yet a manifestation quality when the moon is in the sign of Virgo. And some of you have Virgo prominent in your horoscopes, and you may respond to that kind of metaphor that I give about the earth that is receptive and yet also firm. It's earth we can walk on, we can move on, that can accept, receive. So the moon in Virgo over these next couple of days actually shows a lot of stability coming in. And for those of us or situations that are still coming to terms with or seeing where things are at post-United States election, certainly we're going to see how that pans out in the national and global arena. But for individuals, we're in this waning moon cycle, the last week of the waning moon cycle before we get to that new moon on Sunday, which I'll be talking more about. And so it's a perfect time to be completing, to be wrapping certain things up, to be seeing where you might want to go. And what I mean by that is, let's say you've been on a project, something's been going a certain way, and you'd like to get it finished or make some resolution with it or see what actually has occurred. There's a lot of ability to make decisions and edifications and move forward in whatever way you need to at this point in time. And keep in mind that there's a picture in the sky between Venus and Mars. It's an opposition that happens in the late morning on the 9th. So this can show a little conflict. It can be a he said, she said sort of thing, but it's just really a kind of blip. It doesn't have to have any shelf life to it if you don't engage. Remember, Mars is still retrograde. It's slowing down in the sky. It will be going direct in a few days. So this means it's very important, especially if you've held the line or kept things calm for quite some time on certain issues, not to engage, not to be the aggressor. Because as I've repeatedly said, for those who've listened, The aggressor when Mars is retrograde tends to be the loser. It tends to have a boomerang. And we can keep this in mind as we see what's going on in the world stage. Overall, things that are in action or we're working on Monday and the 10th, Tuesday, really track well for going where we want them to go, especially if we are adapting to flow or the best way to make them happen. New information has been coming in since Mercury's gone direct last week. And so a lot of things that hadn't been clear or hadn't come through are really starting to come through. The 11th. Veterans Day in the United States. The moon goes void, of course, at 5:59 a.m., and it enters the sign of Libra at 11:09 a.m. Once it enters the sign of Libra, we are moving with energy that feels different than that nice Virgo energy, because what's happening is Libra is an air sign. It likes to connect, compromise, mediate, have a discussion, be the devil's advocate at times, get into litigation, things that are about how we compromise, how we meet one another in the verbal thinking arena. However, on the 11th, Wednesday, we may feel as though, okay, we're getting some traction here. Things are starting to be said. We're starting to come together. On the 12th, there's more of a sense of the power involved in whatever it is that wants to be put across. And so as we get into these power models or this sense of this is where I want to invest, this is where I want to put my money, this is what I hold dear to me. As people kind of put that on the table, we see a lot of coalescing that's coming, where people are coming together to kind of bring a sense of, all right, we are more, we have more of a voice, more power when we're together. As the day progresses, we can start to encounter power jockeying. So if you find yourself thinking that something's going a certain way, and then you lock heads or almost are surprised by the way something is going because it's not what you anticipated or expected. The most important thing here is to stand in your own authority. And so make sure it's your own authority. Sometimes what happens is we might get into postures or ways of declaring something or standing our ground that basically is weak. It's not really us. It's not really how we believe or what we hold true. But it's almost as though this armor comes down and it's a sense of, I am staying here. And what is important is to ask yourself, is this really me? Or is this what I think I should do? Am I really standing in my truth? Or am I parroting or doing something that I think I should do? And this is incredibly valuable for us to look at this point in time, whether it's coming up in a relationship, husband, partner, child, parent, or boss, coworker, someone who you actually are involved in some sort of litigation or business contract or financial situation with, whatever it may be, even if it's an argument, or is actually especially if it's an argument or war within yourself, what's really valuable at this point in time over the 11th and 12th and into the wee hours of the 13th, it's really important to look at what is it, how do I claim my own authority? Is this something I have done or thought or judged or believed all my life because it's what I was taught to do, told to do, what I role modeled myself for? Is this really who I am? And that's kind of the long work of this Pluto and Capricorn experience that we're all going through. It's the structures that we've built. Are they structures of integrity to self, to the innermost part of myself, yourself, that higher power voice that we connect to in our quietest moments? Or is this the artifice, the armor, the structure, the scaffolding that's been put around me that I've lived, but isn't necessarily me. And it's a reckoning time for us globally, especially if we look at this very conceptually and think about human beings and who we thought we were in the hierarchy and weaving of the planet, and who we really are. Living beings that are biologically as dependent on the rest of the planet as any other life form. It's humbling, and it's important for us to come to terms with. So at 6:32 a.m., the moon goes void, of course, on Friday the 13th. And Friday the 13th is actually quite a magical day. It goes back to ancient times when basically it was seen. Friday is Venus's day, the goddess. And the 13th emulates and mirrors the 13 moons that happen in a year. 13 new moons, 13 full moons. When we were living with a lunar calendar, not a solar calendar. So it's a very feminine day, Friday the 13th. And that doesn't matter if you're male or female. It's a day when we open into our creative, empress, fertile energy, how we thrive and connect with the wonderful earth. So the moon would, of course, at 6:32 a.m., and then it enters the sign of Scorpio at 11:19 a.m. The other thing that is very important on this day is that Mars goes station direct. Mars appears to be frozen in the sky, the red planet, and then it starts to incrementally move in forward direction from Earth's perspective. This is going to have a big impact symbolically in what goes on down here on Earth for the rest of the year, because Mars has been retrograde during the entire United States elections, the last pivotal weeks of it. And once it goes direct, we're going to start to see how things are really moving with the economy, with structures, with how people want to go forward and assert. So I think it's pretty special that the moon is in the sign of Scorpio, Scorpio being a sign that is linked to the planet Mars, and Mars being in the sign of Aries, very powerful energy. If you will, the Scorpio flavor is the yin expression of Mars, and the Aries signature is the yang expression of Mars, and they are equally powerful. I would even hazard an argument that, which astrologers love to do with one another, discussion maybe is a better word, but that Mars in Scorpio is like Mars in Aries in stealth, covert, at all costs succeed mode, because it's an unrelenting, tenacious force. So I think part of what it can bring in as we look at this weekend before that new moon that happens in Scorpio on Sunday is that this can be a very dynamic weekend for self-reflection and for restructuring. I mean, it's easy to feel a little apprehensive or very apprehensive about what's happening on the global arena with big forces that have a lot of effect on each one of our individual lives, and with what's going on, of course, with the pandemic, because as that continues to rage, it affects each of our lives. But with Mars going direct and the moon in the sign of Scorpio as it plays over this weekend, it really speaks about how do I, each one of us, how do we raise our personal power, authority, optimism, conviction of survival? Because Scorpio is about survival. And when we think in terms of what really is going to triumph, every project we do, but also its exponential effect and how it reverberates in the greater world, each one of us will do well thinking about using this weekend energy of the Scorpio new moon to think about how do we shape shift? How do we recycle? How do we take the information that we've already learned and has seeded each one of us by living in these times and what we've observed? How do we take all this and reinvent and soar? Scorpio is the phoenix rising from the ashes. So things must be destroyed, but nothing is ever really created or destroyed. So when something is destroyed, it allows new energy for rebirth. The vacuum is created, and nature abhors a vacuum. So something is coming in. What are we birthing? What are we co-creating? It's very powerful. I always see the Scorpio new moon as one of the most powerful manifestations in the new moon. It happens right on the threshold of winter. And so it's pretty much talking about how do we take the harvest, everything that is now dying, and what is it we recreate and give birth to? So the moon enters the sign of Sagittarius at 10:47 a.m., and that's on the morning of the 15th. So we've gone through this very dark of moon, recreating, rebirth, energetic weekend, which is fabulous for anything therapeutic, connective, creative. And once it enters the sign of Sagittarius, then we are leaning towards outreach. How do we take what we've incubated within and bring it to the broader world so that we express love in a bigger sphere? And there's a picture in the sky between Venus and Pluto on the 15th, which can speak about a lot of warring factions when it comes to love and money or love and power. And again, that can happen within the individual. You can see it played out on the world stage or in other relationships. But I believe that as we work with this new moon energy and we reach out to greater connectivity with love, and as Susie and I were talking about earlier, sharing ideas, education, then we become stronger. That's what makes us stronger. So, and Sag is so optimistic and so expansive when it's not being just a bossy armchair pontificator, which is the other side of Sag energy. But we're not focusing on that right now. And now I turn it over to Susie.
Okay, so sounds like, again, power, powerful week. So let's jump into our meditation. I invite everyone to sit in a place where you can be nice and quiet, where you can just really allow yourself to go within. And when you've found that place, just try and sit still, just for 10 minutes. That's all we need to do, just 10 little minutes. So begin to just focus on yourself. Just the self. What is the self? You, your body, your mind, your thoughts, your feelings, your experiences, your memories. Just bring all of the energy in. You can visualize yourself like a giant octopus and just feel all of your tentacles coming back in, and that you are solidifying in yourself, in your space, grounding. So if you think of like thoughts, that they're like these little rays or little strings that are coming out from your being, just pull them back in, just pulling everything back in. And as everything comes back in, you're becoming more grounded, more solid, and of course, present. And as you're becoming more present, we're actually becoming more expanded. We're only here and only now. Everything else, just it's an illusion. The past, it's dissolved. The future is not here. It's just us, just me, and just now. And as you're slowly just allowing yourself to get to that state, taking a few deeper breaths now and arriving. This is a good thing to do whenever we sit down to meditate, just allowing ourselves to pull all of our energies in, to become consolidated, condensing the timeline into the present moment, and being here. Now, and in that here-ness, in that now-ness, in that presence, we are also deepening into our consciousness, our awareness, that is beginningless. It is endless. It has been here through millions and millions of moments, lifetimes. It is always present. And when we understand ourselves from this point of view, that we are consciousness, awareness, that we are not necessarily this material body or this material existence, we can feel ourselves loosening up a bit. We are not so attached. We are not so absolutely fearful of every single turn of events that either makes us comfortable or uncomfortable. When the grasp, that clutching grasp to survival, loosens up a bit, We find ourselves being more compassionate, less judgmental, and certainly more peaceful. And that might seem like a cop-out. It might seem like, oh, well, you're just escaping. You're just running away from all of the problems. You're just pretending that nothing exists. You're not doing anything to help. But it is actually a more helpful, beneficial place to be in. When we have this more expansive view, when we're coming from a place of real peace, a place of real intelligence, a place of great expansiveness, we can actually be much more effective. It's like instead of screaming and yelling and being angry and doing something, being peaceful and calm and understanding and doing something. There's a difference. And now is the time for all of us to come to this peaceful place of action, this very rapid and active place, but it's not dramatic. It is up to each and every one of us every day to be in this place. Not reacting to the outside world, not reacting to the situation, but showing up, taking responsibility, bringing about change from a place of collaboration, understanding, from a place that is really at the center of every single human being. And it is a place of tremendous wisdom. And it is there in all beings. We might have to look a bit harder. We might have to engage in more conversation. But now is the time to be expansive in our views and in our understandings. And that is where our authority comes from. And as we're claiming our own authority, as we're stepping into our power, it comes from a place that is not about a one-liner or a one point of view or this is the only way. It comes from a multidisciplinary. It comes from a place within us that is looking, searching, being resourceful on many different levels. We are expanding our mind, our heart, and we're incorporating new things, new ways of being. The way forward for all human beings now requires change. requires expansion. Not by being cut off from an idea or from people or from a community, but by listening and growing and expanding. And as we feel this in our hearts, we send this energy to all of our friends everywhere in the world, to all of our brothers and sisters, for the highest good of all beings. Gently, we open our eyes, we take a few deeper breaths. And we say thank you for joining us. And we look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you so much, everybody.
You have been listening to ActiveSpirituality.life with Susie Mazzoli and Pamela Cuccinell. You can find out more about our work on ActiveSpirituality.life, and we really hope you have found this episode helpful. Please share it with your friends. And if you feel so moved, we appreciate your donations. ActiveSpirituality.life. Have a beautiful week.